Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've been on for 4 weeks now, talking about how to fulfill your destiny. And I had planned on tomorrow being my last day, but I just became aware that I've still got one of these destiny stories to show, so we'll probably continue on into Monday of next week. But I tell you, this is powerful, the things that I've been talking about. It's not only changed my life, but we have testimonies here of, I think it's 4 or 5 different couples or groups that have just gotten hold of this truth. They are now, some of them are in Russia and India and Africa and different places, and they're changing the world and making a difference because they realized God had a purpose for their life. They've taken the steps necessary, and now they are seeing God fulfilling the destiny for their life. I tell you, there is no chance that you are accidentally going to fulfill God's destiny. You have to have a revelation. You have to have, on purpose. You have to seek after God and take steps, and it just doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen accidentally. It isn't just fate that makes it come to pass. You have to pursue the things of God. And so that's the reason I've been teaching on this for a month. And I tell you, it's powerful. The last few days, I've been teaching from Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, where it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And I've been really emphasizing this. I know that some of you who watch every single day think I'm belaboring this, but this is just important to me, and I really think that I need to spend time on it to emphasize how important this is in finding your destiny and fulfilling it, following the leadership of the Lord, is for you just to recognize that when you put God first in your life, He starts putting His desires into your heart. And this is how you're led of the Lord. And you know, some of the most important decisions that I've ever made in my life came through this exact principle right here. That's one of the reasons I'm spending so much time on it, because this has been major, major, major in my life. You know, as a matter of fact, me being on television right here, this is how the vast majority of people now are responding to our ministry, is through television. We have a potential of reaching 2.2 billion people around the world. And we have tens of thousands of contacts every single month. The vast majority of the impact that God is making through me today is happening through television. And you know how that came to pass? I knew from the very beginning that eventually God was going to call me to have a large-scale impact on the body of Christ, not only in the U.S., but around the world. I have believed that just intuitively from day one. But, you know, I struggled for many, many years, and I mean, people stayed away from my meetings by the droves. Amen. I pastored 3 little churches that never got over 100, and I just struggled in ministry. But I knew that someday television was going to be a part of it. I was a guest on other people's television programs, and every time I was, there was just like an anointing. Every time people would say, "Man, you are anointed to be on television. You're relaxed. It's like it's natural, normal to you." And I could see the fruit of it, and I knew that someday I was going to be on television. But I also knew that television was potentially dangerous. It was expensive. And at the level that I was back in the 1990s, to go on television would have been like doubling our expenses in a year's time. And we had never seen that kind of an increase. And so I knew it was in the future, but as far as I was concerned, it was way off in the future. And I was content being on radio. I had been on radio for 20 years, and I had been ministering, and we were traveling and seeing good things happening. And I was enjoying life, and God was good, and people's lives were being changed. And every time somebody would mention television to me, I said, "Someday, but not now." I had zero desire to do television. I knew that someday it would be a part of what God was leading me to do, but I had zero desire. And then in 1998, long story, a lot of things happened, but as I was praying in the summer of 1998, I mean, all of a sudden, my heart just changed from having zero desire to do television. All of a sudden, it's just like I saw it. I saw the potential of reaching people. I knew that this is what God wanted me to do. I got so excited that I remember sitting down as I was praying, and I started drawing pictures of what our set was going to look like. And of course, it wasn't exactly like this, but it was informal like this. It was this type of laid-back thing. I knew. I mean, I just began to start thinking about it. My imagination came alive. I knew I wasn't going to be standing behind a pulpit and wearing a three-piece suit and preaching and doing things like everybody else did. I just saw all of this, and I got so excited about it that all of a sudden I changed. My desire changed from not having a desire for television to where I longed for it. I mean, I was lusting for it in a good way. I had a strong, overpowering desire to do television. And I did a number of things. Since this was such a big decision, typically, I just delight myself in the Lord, and if I know that I'm seeking God, then I just follow those desires. But when it was something that was really big, that I mean could have potentially killed our ministry and overwhelmed us, and we would have defaulted and have had to stop before we even get started, since it was such a big decision, I prayed about it for a while. I shared it with my wife. And did you know, many of the big decisions that I've made, Jamie wasn't in agreement, but Jamie just feels called to be with me. And she says, you know, even if I don't have God telling me specifically to do it, I believe in you. And Jamie has just gone with me and been a part of what I've done. And that's the way most of the big decisions in our life have been. But when it came to television, the moment I mentioned it to Jamie, she says, this is God. This is right. Boy, to me, that was like a booming voice, that this must be God to have Jamie that excited about something that I was going to do that had that much risk and potential damage with it. So Jamie and I didn't tell anybody else. We just sat on it for a few months. And then I went to our ministers' conference in October of 1998. And I had the two other speakers that always minister with me. And we'd been friends for 20 years. They had never said anything to me about television. And that October, they came to me and both of them said, God spoke to me and told me that you're supposed to be on television. And they told me this separate from each other. The timing of this, the fact that friends for 20 years all of a sudden now felt confirmed. Jamie confirmed it. All of these things added together. And, you know, we stepped out and we began to start doing things. We hired people, started the set design, started taping. And we started on television January the 3rd of 2000. And I tell you, it has just transformed the ministry. The ministry is literally exploded. It doubles nearly every year or two. And we are reaching more and more people and having a bigger impact. And you know how all of that got started? God didn't speak to me in an audible voice and tell me, go do television. It wasn't a prophecy. It wasn't anything dramatic. I didn't have a vision. I didn't see anything. You know how it all happened? It was the desire of my heart. All of a sudden, my desires changed. And it's major. I mean, right now, I can't even imagine how our ministry would be reaching out and touching people if we didn't have this television outreach. And this is how the Lord made all of it come to pass. You know, our Bible college is another awesome miracle and major thing that God has led me to do. And prior to 1993, I had people come and ask me, are you going to start a Bible school? And I just always told them no, because I had seen people who had been through Bible schools and they came out and they were still carnal. They were still selfish. They did more damage than they did good. And they were telling everybody, I'm from such and such Bible school. And it was a negative, and I didn't want my name associated with things like that. And I just didn't see how just academics could instill spiritual qualities in people and actually help mature them. And so because of it, I just didn't want to be associated with that. Every time somebody said something about me starting a Bible school, it was like, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. I had zero desire. But I had a desire to disciple people, and I did it on a one-to-one basis, and I discipled a number of people. I was absolutely convinced that discipling people is more important than just teaching them a truth from the Word of God, but you've got to have this personal contact. And I'd done it, but I'd done it on a limited scale, and I was very frustrated about how could I increase and disciple more people. And anyway, I went to England, and in the summer of 1993, it's again a very long story, but I heard a man say that unless you are reproducing yourself, you're a failure. Doesn't matter if you have a ministry that goes 20, 30, 40, 50 years, if you reach thousands of people, you have a limited time here on this earth. And God called us to make disciples, not converts. We've got to mature people. He took the scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the things that you have heard of me, commit the same to faithful men and women who will be able to teach others also. And all of these things he was saying were absolutely things that God had shown me, and I was in a total agreement, but there was an anointing there, and God was speaking to me about you've got to start discipling more people. And I said, but God, how? And immediately I thought of a Bible school, but I said, God, Bible schools, the way that I've seen them, they aren't turning out disciples. They're just turning out carnal people that have some knowledge and a diploma, but they aren't disciples. And I mean, boom, like that. God showed me a unique approach to Bible school to where, yes, we have the academics and we have the class time, but where we do a lot of personal ministry, we take people on missions trips, we actually get them into the ministry, we mentor people, and we do things. And anyway, when I saw this kind of a new twist on Bible school, all of a sudden, my desires changed, and I changed from nearly rebuking you if you mentioned Bible school to where I longed for. I was so excited about it. I came home, that was like June of 1993, and I wanted to start Bible school in August of 93. And under the direction of my board of directors and my wife and others who said, you can't get it together and do things that quickly, I actually put it off until 1994, which in hindsight was wisdom. We still weren't prepared then. But I'm saying that this is how much God changed my heart. And you know, I started the Bible college just because of the way that my heart changed, my desires. I all of a sudden wanted this so badly, it was like, I've got to have this. And it was such a flip-flop. Again, many of you don't know me, and so it may not impact you, but I am not the kind to just make a quick decision and to do things like that. Man, I mull things over. It takes me a long time. And for me to go to where I hated the thought of a Bible college, to where I had to have a Bible college in just a matter of hours, and my heart to just totally turn that dramatically, to me, that had to be God. And then the more I sought the Lord about it, the more I prayed about it, just the bigger the vision began to be growing on the inside. And based on the desires of my heart, I went ahead and started the Charis Bible College. And you know, when I started it, I did it because of a pure desire to minister to people and to help them. And I felt like that this would allow me to make a more solid impact, a larger impact, a deeper impact on people than just, you know, through a tape series or a 3-day meeting or something like that. And I did it totally thinking about the benefit to the people. I never even thought about how it would benefit me. But, you know, as we look back now after it's been 14 going on our 15th year of Bible school, and I look back, God has brought me some of the most qualified, gifted people that I have ever met in my life. We've got people that came to our Bible school that used to manage 7,000 and 8,000 people were under their control. Others that ran hospitals and had hundreds and thousands of people in multi-million dollar business that they manage. And these people have left all of these things, come to this Bible school. And yes, they've been blessed. But did you know it's turned out to be a tremendous blessing to me? Those people are now on staff with me. God has given me some of the most talented, gifted people, people with life experience and maturity that are now taking all of these gifts and callings and they're helping us. And I don't remember the exact figure, but I think it's 80% or more of the 200 people that we have working right here in our ministry in the United States. 80% of those, I think, came out of our Bible school. I tell you, it's turned out to be the biggest blessing to this ministry. It's a tremendous pool of resources and talent that God is bringing our way. And I didn't even envision any of these things. I didn't know any of that. I didn't understand what I was doing. I just knew that the desires of my heart changed, and I followed it. And you know what? It has not led me wrong. That is powerful to me. This is one of the most important things that I've learned. And again, there is a huge if here. I've got to put this in. This only works if you are delighting yourself in the Lord, which means that your heart is set on God, that He's first in your life. This doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you have passed on unto sinless perfection. But you know what? You know in your heart when you are truly seeking God and when you're putting God first. I do. Let me say it this way. That if you are thinking, well, I don't know if I really have got God at the center of my life, if I've put Him first or not. Well, then you haven't. Because when you do that, when you run up the white flag and you surrender and you make God first, you know it. It's different. It's different than the way you've run your life. If you are thinking about, well, I wonder if I really qualify for following the desires of my heart, if I'm really delighting myself in the Lord. If you have to question that, then you aren't. But there are some of you, and I'm talking to a select group right here, there are some of you that have put God first. You really would follow God to the ends of the earth. You love God. I'm not saying that you're perfect. I'm not saying that you don't ever lose your temper, that you are just Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, but you are seeking God with your whole heart. You love Him more than you love yourself. You are putting God first. And if you're doing that, you know what? You can follow the desires of your heart. God will put His desires in your heart. And it really makes the Christian life super simple. The only thing that is hard is that you've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny these worldly lusts and the things of this world that try and choke the Word out of your life. And you've just got to keep your attention on God. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes a commitment to pursue God. But if you will do that and just consistently put God first, well, then everything else in the Christian life just seems to fall in place. When you put first the kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33, all of these other things are added unto you. The context of that verse in Matthew is talking about what you eat and where you sleep and what you're clothed with, talking about physical necessities. But I believe that you could also say that when you are putting God first, you'll find out that the desires of your heart will work out. God will start leading you, and you'll find out that this lust for evil things leaves when you get into the presence of God and when you put God first. And it purifies your motives, and it just changes everything. This is my testimony. This is what I'm trying to get across, that this is probably outside of the written Word of God and the obvious direct commands there. I always obey those as much as I can. If God tells me something in the Word, I guarantee you the Word of God trumps any feeling, any desire that I have. I am going to go by the Word of God. But outside of those things, which are broad subjects and they aren't very specific, when it comes to specifically hearing the voice of God, like some of these examples I've used about whether I go on a trip to Guatemala or not, I follow the desires of my heart. When it comes to starting a Bible school, I follow the desires of my heart. When it comes to going on television, I follow the desires of my heart. And you know what? This is how God has led me, and it gives me specific direction. You know, just last Sunday I was at church, and I just, during the offering, we gave an offering by check into the church. But I just felt like, you know, there's somebody there that needs some money. And so I took some money out of my wallet and stuck it in my pocket, just thinking I'm going to meet somebody who needs some money. And sure enough, on the way out, I saw a guy that I'd known from years before. He just moved into town, didn't have a job. He didn't ask for money or anything, but I could just tell that he needed some money. And you know what? I just happened to have a couple of $100 and say, here, I was waiting on who this was for. And you know how all that happened? It's not, God didn't tell me, thus saith the Lord. It's just all of a sudden I had this thought and I desired to do it. And you know what? That is not a human desire to want to give away what you've got. The flesh, the carnal part of you, is going to get all you can all you get, and sit on your can. It's selfish. It is not the carnal, natural part of you that wants you to give. And so I had a desire to give all of a sudden. And you know what? I just know that those kind of desires don't come out of the carnal part of me. They come out of the born-again part of me, and that's my spirit man leading me, and it works. There are some of you that have a desire to give. And you know what? I'm always amused at this. People say, oh, I just want to bless this person. Do you think that's God? And I say, well, let me ask you, before you got born again, did you want to do these kind of things? Did you want to give your car away to somebody else? Did you want to give $1,000 to this church and to this ministry? And they'll say, no, I never even thought about those kind of things. And I said, you know what? That's the influence of God that is wanting you to give. If you desire to be a partner with some ministry, if you desire to do these things, you know, just use your brain for something besides a hat rack. That is not the way that you think in yourself. Many of you aren't so far removed from before you made a commitment to the Lord that you can't remember back what it was like. And how much did you want to take your hard-earned money and give away and bless people and do things like this? Certainly those desires, when you want to bless people, when you just want to do something, you know what? That's not the flesh that is inspiring you to be a blessing and to help people and to go up to somebody and say, I love you, and to do something kind and to buy them a gift and a present. God is speaking to us all of the time and leading us through the desires of our heart, and we just dismiss it and think, well, that's just me. I wonder if that's really God or if that's me. If it's doing good, if it's going to help a person, if it's giving instead of taking, if it's blessing instead of cursing, if it lines up with the Word of God, if it's consistent with the heart of God, then you ought to take it that this desire is from God and that this is the leading of God. And if you'll do that, God will bless you. You know, I'm getting just about out of time today, but I do want to emphasize that we have these materials, and these materials, I believe that I'm offering, could change your life. I've got a CD set as well as a DVD set on how to fulfill your destiny, and it will cover exactly what we've been talking about. It's got all of these examples I've been talking about on there, and I promise you, you need to get hold of this and meditate on it until you get this established and start hearing the voice of God. We've also got this Destiny Series DVD set, and there's, I think, four or five different people on here that gave their testimony. Some of them are couples, and they have shared their testimony about what God has done. We're going to be showing another one of these on our program next Monday, the last one. And I tell you, this is powerful, and it will be a blessing to you. But you have a destiny. God has a purpose for your life, and you aren't going to fulfill it accidentally. You're going to have to pursue it. You know, if God has stirred you up, if you feel like that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to you, and if you've been challenged by this, don't dismiss this. Don't just turn off the television set and go to work and then forget it and walk away from it. You need to get these materials. You need to sit down and listen to this. And you need to share this with somebody else. I'm sure there's other family members or people in your church or Bible study that this could help. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information. Please call or write today and receive the materials. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these destiny stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled Following the Desires of Your Heart is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT122C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, we couldn't do the things that we're doing if it wasn't for the partners, the people that God has touched their heart. And just like I was teaching today, they have a desire to help us get the word out, and they've taken that as a directive from the Lord. You know, we have a huge amount of money that it costs to do this. It takes well over $1.5 million a month to pay for this, and we make our materials available free of charge. We really do depend on people who've been touched by this ministry and blessed to just help us. One-time gifts are good, but you know, partners really help us because our bills come in monthly, and it makes a huge difference if we have people standing with us monthly. So we've got a telephone number on the screen. I encourage you to call today and inquire about becoming a partner with the Gospel Truth.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth seminar, August 6th through the 8th, and in Little Rock, Arkansas, August 28th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
God would be more pleased with you to step out in faith and make a mistake than to stay where you are and go against the desire that's in your own heart.